in the limelight.
When the last American troop fled, the U.S. regime immediately froze $10 billion of Afghan sovereign funds, says Brecht Jonkers, journalist, in an article published under the heading Continuing War Against the Afghan People by Starvation. Here's the story. Two decades of occupation and invasion by the world's foremost arrogant and hegemonic power came to an ignominious and inglorious end in 2021. Ever since the attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. in September 2001, that had little to do with Afghanistan. Millions of Afghans have been punished for a crime they did not commit. By indulging in mass murder, ethnic cleansing, sexual violence, and the promotion of drug use, hundreds of thousands of Afghans died under horrible circumstances, and many millions more were subjected to indescribable cruelty. But even after the humiliating defeat inflicted on U.S.-led coalition forces in the longest war in U.S. history, the suffering of the Afghan people has not ended. When the last American troop fled with his tail between his legs, the U.S. regime immediately froze $10 billion of Afghan sovereign funds. Apparently, over 200,000 Afghan deaths were not enough to satiate the bloodlust of the imperialist cabal in Washington. This next step was in reality daylight robbery of the urgently needed money of what was already one of the poorest countries in the world. To say that every dime counts for the Afghan people is an underestimate. According to UN estimates, the after-effects of two decades of constant war and occupation combined with current heavy sanctions against the Afghan people have left some 55% of all Afghans facing extreme hunger. That is 23 million innocent men, women, and children who face the specter of death by starvation every single day. The U.S. stopped almost all foreign aid to the West Asian country, followed swiftly by EU, IMF, and the World Bank. The result was that by the end of war, up to 80% of Afghanistan's annual income came exclusively from foreign aid. In a mind-boggling show of truly heartless immorality combined with despicable propaganda, U.S. President Joe Biden announced on February 11th to withdraw, read it, steal billions of Afghan central bank funds and siphon them for financial support for victims of 9/11 attacks. Indeed, Afghan money is taken away from war victims, widows, and orphans in Afghanistan to be given to victims and survivors of a terrorist attack with which the Afghans had absolutely nothing to do. This financial attack against Kabul serves triple purpose. First, it continues the empire's war against the people of Afghanistan by plunging them further into famine and poverty without the U.S. needing to fire a single shot. Second, it creates easily accessible funds for the Democrats to donate to victims of terrorism in the United States, thereby funding their look at how much better than Trump VR agenda without actually needing to use America's own rapidly dwindling financial assets. And third, and most perversely, it plays on the subconscious and completely unjustified mental connection many people still make between 9/11 and Afghanistan. One of the most influential and yet somehow most hidden away lies that the Imperial War Machine has been drilling into the public's mind is that the 2001 invasion of Afghanistan was justified in the name of counter-terrorism. The pointlessness of continuing what was, after all, the longest war in U.S. history by economic means has become clear even to some in the very halls of Washington, D.C. 40 House Democrats urged Biden in December to unfreeze Afghan financial assets and relax economic restrictions on Afghanistan. Maintaining this policy could cause more civilian deaths in the coming year than were lost in 20 years of war, the lawmakers wrote in their message to Biden. This calls to mind an analogy with the terrible consequences of Western economic sanctions on Syria, which has already led to a situation in which many people are suffering worse than during the period of actual military conflict. Britain's former Defense Chief General Sir David Richards echoed these sentiments with a surprisingly clear admission of his country's failure, saying, "I think this is the occasion for us to be magnanimous in defeat," Richards said. Former Afghan General Samer Sadat added that the Americans were strategically defeated in Afghanistan. They have to accept this defeat because the government that was the result of the 20-year presence of NATO and the U.S. collapsed in front of Americans' eyes. Deeply ingrained feelings of superiority and Western supremacy are, apparently, hard to let go even when faced with mountains of evidence to the contrary.